In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'm back. It's the first time you ever clap for a bad penny, isn't it? And what a joy to be back. Look at our choir has grown. But they don't groan, they sing. So anyway, as I told the vestry the other night, it's nice of me to be back and to be a part of this new magnificent staff. I've gotten here and I have not only one new colleague, but two new colleagues. Paula is now my office mate, and I got to know Krista because of our magnificent website. I listened to her first sermon when I was in Canada. And I think, as some of you know, our sermons are now archived. And I couldn't wait to meet her in person after I'd heard her first sermon. I spent the month of August serving the Episcopal Church in Freeport, Illinois, Grace Church, for the five Sundays in August. And that was a delightful experience. They're in the midst of a search. And so I was happy to show them some of the things that we're doing here in St. Francis. And so I'm St. Francis's missionary to poor old dark Illinois. You know, anytime you hear Jesus in the gospel say, "The kingdom of heaven is like ... you better put your helmet on, because he's going to teach us some magnificent things about the Holy One, but he's also going to teach us some things about ourselves. And this morning, our holy gospel begins, "The kingdom of heaven is like..." Uh-oh. And of course, we have this story, which I'm sure you've heard since you were a child, about the owner of the vineyard. And the owner of the vineyard hires people before dawn to go out and pick grapes. And he comes by at 9 in the morning, he comes by again at noon, he comes by again at 3 o'clock. He even comes at 5 o'clock so that people can work 1 hour. Now, if your radar hasn't gone off with the first one, it's certainly by the last one. We're not talking about the shop floor anywhere, are we? Although I have to laugh, one of our Bible study groups back in Chicago was a bunch of guys that owned businesses. And you should have heard them going off on this gospel. "Why, you could never run my shop that way. Why, there'd be a strike. Blah, blah, blah." And that's precisely the point. And of course, as we know from all of Jesus' stories, they're very simple. They can be understood by anybody. My two granddaughters, age 4, would have no trouble with this one as they spend time arguing vehemently for what's fair. If I've cut the cookie in half and it isn't quite in half, we always kind of look over our shoulder and see what the other guy's getting. And is he getting a little something more than moi? We got a problem. And Jesus certainly knows this when he tells the story of these guys. And, you know, I just love this line in here where the Holy One who owns the vineyard, by the way, that's God, pays the last guy's first, the day's wage. And the text makes us laugh at the guys that went out in the morning who are rubbing their hands. And they're really excited. If they got a day's pay for an hour's work, think what we're going to get. Whew, boy, this is our day. Only to discover something quite different. It says some wonderful things about the Holy One, the God of all creation. He is immensely generous and fills our lives with abundance. Imagine these characters that we heard about in the book of Exodus this morning, out in the desert, wondering what's going to happen to them and dreaming that they could be back in the mean streets of Egypt, in the worst neighborhoods. Couldn't they please die there rather than out in the desert? And our Lord splashes abundance upon them. And I love the Italian word, abundanza. It just means the flood tide of God's love and grace. Well, then there's the guys that are in the workforce who suddenly look at each other with envy and jealousy and with anger and with tremendous resentment to the owner of the vineyard. And you know, that's always the way with us. This is quite a story about us. And I was reminded when I was reading this gospel earlier this week of traveling one time down in Mexico. And I went into a place for lunch, and on the counter was this shallow saucer with a little water in it. And it was, I don't know, 8, 10, 12 crayfish in it. And when I was so fascinated, these little crayfish would try to escape. This dish was quite shallow. It was no problem for one to crawl out. But every time one crawled and got right to the top of the rim, well, you all know what happens. The other crayfish jump up, grab them in the rear end, and pull them back into the saucer. And I was so fascinated watching this. And I talked to the owner and said, "What's going on?" He said, "One will never escape. If there's more than one crayfish in this dish, believe me, one won't let anybody else out." And you know, I've never forgotten that story. Boy, is that a story of the human race. You know, we're like the crayfish. And we're never going to let anybody get away with getting more than we get without complaining. And arguing about what's fair. Whether we're 4 years old or my age, 400, it doesn't make any difference. We have this remarkable situation. And Jesus speaks to us about this in terms of speaking directly to the fact that we long always to be rewarded as if we deserve it. And God provides us instead not with what we think we deserve. God provides us with what we need. And what a difference. And I love the way our gospel ends. "Are you envious because I'm generous?" And I think that's another one for your refrigerator. Take it home and treat your families that way. Treat your children that way. Teach your children to teach each other that way. And not be always looking over your shoulder at what the other guy has, or where you think he has, or with what you think you deserve. This isn't office ethics. This is instead kingdom ethics. This means that we rejoice when God's grace lavishes on somebody, even though they are more recently come to the faith. I have never been so aggravated in my life as I was a few years ago with a couple of people who were so pious, it made me puke. They just couldn't stand not letting me know that they were up in the morning reading and studying and much more pious than anybody else in the parish. Oh, man, does this get under our skin? None of your business how pious I am or you are. That's a contract between you and the Lord, between me and the Lord. And I don't need, nor do you, anybody practicing their piety with such outrage and anger. We celebrate the fact that God loves everyone, whether they came to the faith 2 minutes ago or 2,000 years ago. And we celebrate this in such ways as always to understand that God loves us wherever we are, whenever we are, and it's up to Him to pass out that grace. It's never up to us to judge the quality of it. And we are never to be envious because I am generous. Now, I've told you before that I'm always the last one to be giving advice. And today is no exception. I grind my teeth just like these guys in the story. I've always catched myself worrying what the other guy has. It's part of our human nature. After all, it's part of the crayfish nature. It's part of creation. And the only thing I do when I ask forgiveness, particularly on a morning like this morning, is that I'm not going to be the little crab to reach up and pull somebody in the rear end and pull them down. And maybe in our lives, we'll learn to be little crabs that will instead give one a boost. Are you envious because I'm generous? Take that home with you today. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that you lavish your grace on us. You give us manna when we are starving. You open the rock and give us water to drink. You spread quails on the camp that we may have meat to eat. May we find ways to understand and see the way you lavish this love on us. May we apprehend that. May we celebrate it in our fellow man. And may we find new ways to pass it on. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.